you. That was very good. He's always been faithful. Amen. Hope you found that true. If you haven't found it to be true, there's nothing wrong with him. So, might be something wrong with you. But he's always faithful. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I prepared a message today that I'm not going to use just because of Jevin, his fault. I'm like Brother Carter. I kind of surprise myself every time I get up to preach because I don't know what I'm going to preach until I get up. Amen? But I prepared this message. We introduced our theme for the college during finals week. And I preached the first message. Brother Bradley preached the second message. On the theme, Brother Vercellus preached the third message. And while he was preaching, I wasn't paying attention. I was preparing another message on the theme. Amen. Now, that's not true. I was listening, but something jumped out at me. And I said, you know what? This will be whatever's going on. Amen. This will be the first message of the next school year, but God doesn't give you messages to hang on to them for 3 months. Amen? So I believe I'll preach it tonight. And I hope it's a blessing. It was a blessing for me as I prepared it. Let's read verses 8 through 10 in Philippians chapter 3. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, amen, which is of the law, can't keep the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now look at this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let's pray. Father, I ask now that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me tonight. I want your word to break through all the fog in our brains. And I want you to change our lives and help us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give power to the preaching of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That I may know him. There's probably not a greater challenge in the Christian life than trying to just get to know the one that saved us. Because we know who the him is, right? It's the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That excellency, that knowledge that takes care of a lot of the worries that we have and a lot of the trials that we have. If we could just know him. You see, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ, is it not? Many people use the Bible as something that it makes me feel good to read it. Well, it's not about you. It's not even about you feeling good. We don't come to church just to feel good. That's the problem with the modern church today, is they've got this concept that going to church is supposed to make me feel good. No, the church isn't supposed to make you feel good. The church is supposed to help you know Christ. We can feel good later. We need to know Christ. I'm gonna show you something here in a few minutes that knowing Christ may not make you feel good. It might hurt a little bit. It might be uncomfortable. You might have to suffer some. Well, that's not too promising of a start, Brother Jim. Well, that's the way it starts. But look at this. There are conditions that need to be fulfilled in order to just begin to get to know Jesus Christ. We gotta meet some conditions. Look at verse number 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Now listen, one of the biggest hindrances of getting people to know Jesus Christ, and first of all, to getting people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, is getting them past their own life. Getting them past their own personal accomplishments or their own good works or their own religion, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You start talking about somebody to somebody about the Lord and they say, well, I was an altar boy when I was a little boy. I'm not such a bad person. I've done a lot of good things. I think all my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds. By the way, you don't have a single good deed. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, by the way. If you're here and you're breathing, all your good deeds don't amount to anything but filth. Because everything we do, even people that are good people that are lost, why do they do good deeds? For selfish reasons. It makes them feel good. They didn't do it for Jesus. People that do good works to keep their salvation, they're not doing good works to please Jesus. They're doing good works to keep from going to hell or losing their salvation. So even when we try to do good works, it can't be good works. So we've got to forget who we are. This who I am is a hindrance. Look at what, look over verse 5. Paul is given his pedigree. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, I was right up there. Man, we got to go back and we look at our past and we look at things we've done in the past, and sometimes we want those things to identify us, right? Race car driver, right? We want that to identify us? Is that what we want to present to Jesus Christ? I was a deep sea diver. I was a roughneck. On an oil rig, I was this and I was that and I was the other thing. Is that what we want to identify us? Did you know that no matter how deep in the ocean I went, that wasn't going to please God? What you've done in your past, maybe your exploits in the military, maybe the medals you got, maybe the Purple Heart or whatever it was, you know what? That doesn't mean much to God. Especially when we're talking about salvation. Well, my mama tells me I'm a good boy. You may be to your mama. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. You know what we got to do in order to get to know Christ? First of all, as Savior, we got to admit, I'm just a sinner. But after that, after we're saved, you know what we got to admit? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I don't have anything to bring to the table. Yes, God can use some of our skills and some of our experiences, maybe as personal illustrations to help people to see that we're human also. But in the end game, nothing that we can't bring anything to the table for Christ. Nothing. And we got to realize exactly what we are, because in order to get to know Him, we got to forget us. But what's the first thing a lot of people ask you when you're out on visitation and you're trying to get them to come to church? What does your church have to offer me? Because I'm important to me. How often do you hear somebody say, I'd like to become part of your church because I want to serve Jesus there? We're not here to get something. We're here to give something or learn how to give something. Learn how to do something for Jesus. What do we have to bring to the table? Nothing. But if we'll come to the table with nothing, He'll use that nothing to do something. Amen? So the first hindrance we have is ourselves. Whatever I had was a hindrance. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Think about Jesus Christ. If he can do that, why can't we do that? Think about Jesus Christ. But look at this. Let's just move on down just a minute. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right, now let's look at this. He made himself of no reputation. Paul said that all those things which were gained to me, I count them but dung. All this stuff that we think makes us look important in other people's eyes, you know what it is? It's dung. And you know what dung is? I don't want to get too crude here, but you know what dung is? Here's what we do with our dung, though, sometimes. We take it and we put it on a shelf. And it stinks just as much on a shelf as it does anywhere else. We need to make ourselves of no reputation. Well, I've got a good reputation down here, and I got a good people think highly of me over here. You know what? That's dung. What do you do with dung? Love my daughter-in-law. She changed a dirty diaper and she took it with her and threw it in the trash on the way out, so I didn't forget to take the trash out tomorrow. Amen? But you know, what I was, my religion, who I was as a religious person, you know, that's dung. Doesn't count. It's a hindrance. Oh, religious people are the hardest people to win to Christ, aren't they? By the way, it's religious people that are kind of hard to get to do anything in the church after they get saved. Look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. It ought to be a loss. What you thought made you who you are today. You brag about the things of your past. It made me the man I am today. All I can say is my life before Jesus Christ, it made me into something that I don't even want to think about what I would have become had I stayed on it. What I was successful at was very likely to destroy me later on in my life without Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm glad I lost it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, some things we need to get out of the way in order just to begin to get to know Him. We got to get ourselves and our preconceived notions about religion and our reputation, that's all got to go to the side to get to the goal. What's the goal? Again, verse 10, that I may know Him. It's alluded to again earlier on in verse 8. It said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency? What do I need to know? The excellency. Jesus wasn't just a good man, as the liberals say. The modernists would like to say he was a good teacher. Or he was a good example to follow. No, he wasn't good, he was excellent.
Amen.
And yes, we need to learn from him and we need to follow his example, but we need to fall in love with the things that he's in love with.
Amen.
And you can't do that if you don't know him.
Amen.
That I may know him. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Look at this. You go on down. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and you count them but dung, that I may win. I want to be a winner.
Amen.
But here's what I want to win. I want to win Christ.
Amen.
You know, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's winning.
Yeah. Amen.
That's true victory.
Amen.
When somebody looks at me and said, that's a Christian. I don't want somebody to look at me and say, that was a roughneck. I don't want somebody to look at me and say, that was a diver. I don't want somebody to look at me and say, probably what I would end up being, that was a bum on the street. That I may win Christ. That I can become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And you got to know Him in order for this to happen. And so here we go. Here's the goal. Here's what we're looking for. We want to be, what is it? He says, and to be found in Him. And to be found in Him. Not found in church. A lot of people at the rapture may be found in church and be left behind. Right? Be found in Him. Doing what He would be doing at that time. And to be found in Him. Now let's get to the meat of the message. Number three, how to reach the goal. How do you reach that goal? Chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him. Now look at this. We got three little points here. And the power of His resurrection. What did the power of His resurrection do for me? If there was no resurrection, would I be saved? If there was no resurrection, could my sins be forgiven? Could I know my sins were forgiven? If He wasn't powerful enough to defeat death, how could He defeat sin? So if I know Him, I need to know the power of His resurrection. Listen to me for a minute. If you're sitting in here and you doubt your salvation, there's only one reason you would be doubting your salvation. You know why you doubt your salvation? You don't know Him. Because if you knew Him, there would be no reason whatsoever to doubt your salvation. Unless you're not saved. But there are many Christians, probably many of them sitting in this church. You probably sit here and you say this, I agree with this church on everything but this once saved, always saved, but I sure like the rest of the preaching. You know what your problem is? You don't know Jesus. Jesus doesn't promise and then take away the promise. He doesn't give eternal life and then say, oops, I was just joking, it wasn't really eternal, it's only good to the next time you sin. To know Jesus is to know that He loves us and that He gives us eternal life. And that I'm in His hand and no one can take me out of His hand.
Amen.
Man, what a blessing it is to know Jesus, if for no other reason than to know where you're going. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what?
Know.
Why? Because you believe on Him. I love this verse because it repeats that phrase, believe on the name of the Son of God. It repeats it at the beginning, then it repeats it again. Just in case you don't know, here's what you got to do. You got to go back and believe what you believed. What did you believe to get saved? I believed that Jesus was my Savior. Then believe it. Because He's your Savior. It's not Him and you both. You don't have any part in that other than just to believe. That I may know Him. And I know I'm saved because I know Him. I know His character. I know His love. I know His power. The power of His resurrection. Not the power of my hanging on steadfast to the end. I can't do it. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me, as the song says. And I know Him and I trust Him. You know what trust is? It's belief, believing that He'll do what He said. I trust Him to do it. I don't trust me. I don't trust you. I don't trust my church. I don't trust my pastor. I trust Jesus Christ. Why do I trust Him? I've got everything I need to know Him right here. And I've read it, and I've read it, and I've read it, and I've never found any reason not to trust Him. Amen. And in my life, He showed me over and over and over again that I can trust Him. I trust Him. Why? Because He told me to. That seems just too simple, doesn't it? But it has to be because we're kind of stupid. And I'm talking about me too. It's got to be simple for me to get it. He gave it to me in His Word. Man, if you know Him, you're going to know the power of His resurrection. You're going to know you're saved. And if you're here and you're not saved today, let me invite you to experience the power of His resurrection today and receive Him as your Savior. And you can know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Look at the next part of that verse. It says, and the fellowship of His sufferings. You want to know Jesus? You need to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Why did Jesus suffer? Well, He got up and told people what they needed to hear. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Jewish nation said, we don't need that. We're Jews. We're okay. We don't need to be saved. We don't need a Savior. We need a deliverer to deliver us from the Romans. If you're not going to do that, but you need a Savior. It's hard to know Jesus unless you suffered the way Jesus has suffered. I'm not saying you have to go get nailed to a cross. I'm not saying that. But when's the last time you witnessed to somebody and they got mad at you? I heard somebody say one time, they were talking about the sodomite crowd that they have to work with. And it was here at Landmark, somebody had preached a message and really hit the sodomite crowd. And in the conversation that somebody overheard them having, they said, you know, I thought that was a really good message until I thought about my friends at work that are sodomites. Of course, they didn't call them sodomites. That's what they are, though. All right? They're sodomites. Let me say it again. Sodomites. Is this on the radio? Sodomites. I'm glad they put this on me so I could hear it all. They're hearing you, brother. Amen. He's listening to the radio, not to me. They're not gay, they're sodomites. But they're really nice people. That's what the person said. They're just really nice people. And my question is this. When's the last time you witnessed to that person and told them they were going to hell if they didn't get saved? They won't be nice anymore. You tell them like it is, they will not be nice anymore. Your adulterer friends and your drunkard friends, if you'll get up and tell them what you're doing is sin, but Jesus will save you, get out of my face. A lot of people don't know Christ the way they could if they just go out and witness to people. And have some fellowship. You know what? Fellowship's an interesting word. It's being a partaker of or with. Companionship with Christ. Let's go soul winning with Jesus someday. And find out how the world likes that. You know, the world ain't so bad. You know, one of the worst things I hate to hear? I get treated better by people in the world than I do by people at church. You know why that is? You're not talking about Jesus. Because they wouldn't treat you very nice if you were telling them about Jesus on a regular basis. If every time they walked up to you, you tried to steer the conversation to sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, they wouldn't want to hang around with you much. You'd find out that the people at church aren't so bad after all. You've got too used to the crowd you're hanging with. If you think the lost crowd is better than the church crowd, I'm tired of these cliches. I need somebody to point out some examples. I haven't found many here at Landmark that way. Oh, it's quiet now. Have some of you been looking at Facebook too much? Is that where you get your theology? From the recovering fundamentalists on Facebook? I'm tired of having to suffer all the time. I just want to have some friends. Come to church. There's some good folks here. My best friends are in this building. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you folks. I like being up here, but I don't mind being down there. I love you guys. This is a wonderful place. I love my church. And if you're more comfortable in the world than you are at church, there's a problem. You're not having any fellowship in His sufferings. Because if you were living for Jesus and if you knew Jesus, oh, you'd want to tell somebody about Him. You'd want people to know the Savior that you know. Where's He at in your life? What kind of influence does He have over you? And the fellowship of His sufferings. Look at this. Last part. Being made conformable unto His death. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Right? Listen. Crucified with Christ. We need to put the body of this flesh to death. We need to crucify this flesh. We need to tell the flesh no every once in a while. Not every once in a while. We probably ought to do it pretty regular. On the hour. Half hour. Every 15 minutes. Christ fell on His knees in a garden and He said, Lord, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from Me. But not My will. He's sweating drops of blood. Do you think that was comfortable? He's agonizing over what the next few hours are going to hold for Him. He's realizing and He knows what it's going to be like on that cross. He says, can we find another way? There was no other way. He says, nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. We don't truly know Him until we're ready to bring the flesh into subjection. To bring it under the control of the Spirit. We don't know Him. If we're not willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross, that's an uncomfortable proposition. To take up that cross, to lay that cross on your back, and to walk down that road with Him. Being conformable unto His death. How well do you know Christ? See, here's how we get to know Him. We get to know Him by knowing that we're saved. Knowing the power of His resurrection. By the way, the power of His resurrection goes beyond my own salvation. The power of His resurrection goes to work when we start doing the second part of this, and we become a companionship, or we fellowship in His sufferings by going out and telling other people about it. And then we find out that the power of His resurrection flows through us to other people. Amen. You know, the story we tell is kind of a wild story, isn't it? About this carpenter that died, and a bunch of people said he came back to life. And then he ascended up into heaven. They say he's coming back someday. We don't know when. He hadn't come back yet. Where's the promise of his coming? Right? But the power of his resurrection is displayed when we begin to witness to somebody and we see them come under conviction and they receive Jesus Christ. The power to overcome this flesh comes from the power of his resurrection, knowing that this is only temporary. Now, this doesn't last forever. And someday, this flesh, oh man, there's going to be a trumpet sound, there's going to be a shout. 1 Corinthians 15 says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. This immortal, this mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. I mean, you know what I mean by corruption in this body? We're falling apart. You 20-year-old, 20-something-year-olds, you don't know what I'm talking about. You need to spend a little time with Brother Carter. He can still work rings around you, but... Listen. This is all going to change. And what we're doing here, this short 3 score and 10 that the human race is promised in the age that we live in, it's going to end. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord by the power of His resurrection. But if you never suffered alongside of Him, you miss out on so much. You miss out on so much. If you hadn't put this flesh to death, being made conformable to His death, you miss out on so much. Oh, young people, listen to me. Some of you got cut loose from life. You don't have to go to the Christian school anymore. Some of you don't have to go to college anymore. I'm just going to go out and do what I want to do. Can I warn you? Serve Him now. Serve Him with your youth. Serve Him when it's not a burden to serve Him in this body. Serve Him now. You won't regret it. What this life has to offer is nothing compared to what comes after this life. And for faithful service, there's a crown of righteousness. The ones that put down this flesh, there's a crown of righteousness for them. For one who suffers together for them, there's the martyr's crown and there's the soul winner's crown. That's a much better reward than maybe a good paying job or a wonderful career or an interesting life. Now Paul said, yeah, I had an interesting life. I was this and I was that and I was the other thing. He says, I'll tell you what, I count all that stuff but loss. It hasn't helped me any. It's more of a hindrance than anything. Think about this. Think about Paul, what he was. He says, above all this, I was more zealous than all my kindred. I persecuted the church. You imagine Paul going into a church and there's a mother out there whose kids he put to death? That's a hindrance. There's a father out there that his wife you put in jail. when you were a Pharisee? Think about that. All this stuff he's saying that was gained to me, I count it but lost now. Why? Look what I did with it. I used it against God. And all the things I had before I got saved, I used against God. Oh, praise the Lord for His wonderful mercy that left me alive long enough to get saved. Amen? Amen. And then thank God for His grace that whenever I came to the point where I seen my need, He saved me. Now I have it, and I know I'm saved.
Hallelujah.
What are you going to do? College, this year I'm going to instruct my preaching staff that I want them to prepare at least 2 or 3 messages a semester on this subject. We want to preach on this often. That I may know Him, but when it's all over, I want the students to be able to say, I know Him.
Amen.
That's the goal of Landmark Baptist College. That's the goal of Landmark Baptist Church. You know why we have church 3 times a week? We want you to know Him. We want you to know about Him. We want you to know who He is. We want you to know His power, His love, His mercy and His grace. We want you to know Him. Not just know about Him, but to know Him personally. To have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him and to talk with Him. That's what we want. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we stand to our feet, as the musicians come, how well do you know Him? Do you want to know Him? Does it even bother you that you don't know Him and you don't know the power of His resurrection? You're doubting your salvation. Maybe you're here and you're not even saved. We'd like to take a Bible. Come up here to the front and we can take a Bible and show you what you need to do. As the musicians begin to play, God's done business with you. You do business with God. That I may know Him. Power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Do you know Him?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Jesus loves you. If you're not saved, we'd love for you to come. He died for you. He shed His blood. He rose again from the dead so that you could have eternal life. Would you receive Him?
Behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Brother Perkins, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Father, we do love You. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house tonight. We thank You for Brother Morgan and the message that he just preached. And Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the salvation that he's brought to us. And Father, I do pray that be anybody here tonight that's without Christ, that they would seek one of us out and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved before they leave this building. And Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you'll take us home, bring us back safe Sunday. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Choir practice.
Choir practice, and then Thursday night visitation tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll be waiting on you. Amen.